Hi, it's Clint and Lyndon.
Welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen.
As always, our opinions are our own and should be taken with a pinch of salt.
At the sound of the Arwen cow, enjoy the episode.
Huzzah. Hello, welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen. I'm one of your hosts, Clinton. You can find me on Instagram at ClintySkyGuy.
Anaralabalore.
What was that?
Sindori.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do miss that.
I'm Lyndon.
I miss the...
Pilgrim in the Mist.
Sorry. Yeah.
The same.
I miss the flirt. The one that is like, if I look if I look deep enough in your eyes, I can see my own reflection. Yeah. It's brilliant. Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Anyway... Yeah, hi. Welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen. We're going to talk about equipment.
Tools, part two!
Stuff. I was right in my... Where have you gone? We lost you. There you go. Slipped down the sofa. Yes, tools part two. Yeah, we're going to chat about tools again a bit more.
Yes.
Because it's changed. Things have changed.
Things have changed.
Things have changed.
People have changed.
People have changed.
We're different. The world is different.
I'm not that different.
The world is changing.
I feel it in the water. It's stirring in mickle bins. I fucking loved it. If Galadriel turned out to be really Yorkshire. I feel it in mickle
bins. I feel it in mickle bins.
That's it.
The world is changing.
It's stirring.
I feel it into water.
Into water. It's stirring into womb.
Mithrandi, what are you doing?
You can do accents better than me. I can't do fuck all.
Yeah. It's my only talent.
You have many talents. So, before we start...
Magical moment!
Magical moments! My latest magical moment was...
You went to Pagan Tribal Gathering and you were a slut!
I wasn't a slut at all.
You were a slut for a poncho.
I was a slut for a poncho. I did flirt with a guy for a poncho, and then he flirted back, and I was like, no, go away, leave me alone! Because I'm very asexual.
I mean, I would
do things like that.
I would do anything for a poncho.
Well,
I would do awful things for a poncho.
See, this is what I mentioned. Yeah, well, you would. This is what I was getting at earlier. Like, I cannot do, like, one-night stands. Like, I fall in love with my friends because I have to, like, know somebody before getting romantically involved. Otherwise... just scares the fuck out of me because I'm like, but what if you emotionally abandon me? I'm completely useless. Which is why Wayne has nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
Because,
No.
Anyway, that's different. Magical moments were at Pagan Tribal Gathering. I don't know whether to mention the picking on people or not. I'm trying to think.
Well, you've just mentioned it. So
positive magical thing that I did.
Do something positive. Say something positive. For once, positive. Be positive.
All right, dear.
Just once. Just one time.
Okay, so...
That sounds like a great start.
You do know me. I do have a different magical moment.
At this point, I'd take anything.
Fuck off! Go away! It's hard. You're the one who's going to fluff it, so don't start. Don't come for me. Bitch. So I scared the fuck out of somebody at work.
Okay.
It was a magical moment. Because somebody who's Romanian and very Orthodox Catholic wanted to know, mentioned God. And I was just like, oh, that's nice. And then said something about religion and spirituality. And I was just like, okay, that's nice. And she was just like, are you not spiritual or religious? So I was like, yeah. And she went, oh, what church do you go to? And I was just like, no. Wrong one. And so I had to explain what Druidry was. And she went, so do you cast spells on people? I was like, oh, yeah. Takes my fancy.
I'm doing and she was just like, now.
Yeah, that was it. She was like, do you ever curse people? I was like, yeah, I have done. And she was like, how many times? And I was like, few, a lot, frequently. She was just like, you're not going to curse me, are you? Anyway. So
why is that the initial response?
I know.
What have you done that's deserving of a curse?
And I'm actually quite approachable. Generally speak, don't just be nice. It's true. I am quite approachable and quite nice and friendly. And I'm definitely friendly at work, because I have to work with these people 8 hours a day. So it's all selfish. There's nothing selfless about it. I'm nice to you because I have to put up with you for 8 hours. Makes my job easier if you're agreeable and pleasant to work with. So I'm generally nice at work.
I didn't say anything.
No.
A whole justification just came out of nowhere.
Because I didn't say anything and I just did it anyway. So I had to give her a charm to reinforce that I wasn't going to curse her. So I bestowed a blessing of happiness upon her and gave her this blessing charm. And apparently it's been like the best thing ever. And she's had like the nicest time and things have like just worked out with her and her fella and all this lovely, lovely stuff. And I was just like, oh, great. Great. Overcompensated.
What a weak-willed fucking Orthodox Catholic. I'm sorry. Weak!
Yeah. So I was just like,
she has no faith.
Oh. That was biting.
Kind of true, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
Everything she needs is already within her own faith. So if she's going to you for charms...
Well, she didn't. I just kind of gave her one.
Okay.
And said, do with it what you will. Do whatever you want with it. And she said, oh, I think it's been so good. Thank you so much. It was lovely. La, 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 la.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay. Okay. Overcompensated for... I didn't even do anything. But, like, she was racked with worry. It was the weirdest thing ever. I've never seen somebody shift so quickly.
Again, in weakness. My life. No faith. No faith.
In my life.
If you're really that worried, do your research.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself a Benedict medal. Get it blessed by a priest. You're fixed. You're sorted. You don't have to worry.
I did say, did you have a rosary? She was like, no. I was just like, well, phew. There's your bulletproof vest gone. So that probably didn't help.
Fucking people.
Oh, dear. But yeah, no, that was fun. That was fun.
It was lovely. Very
positive. It was a fun exchange, actually. But I did feel the need to then kind of, like, reassure her. And it worked. It was good.
Every time she sees your desk, she's going to twitch now. Worry. With all your bloody crystals.
She's the other end of the...
Oh, okay.
Other end of the building entirely. Everybody comes to my office to just hang out and look at my bits and pieces that are lying around my desk all the time.
You should... When she's not there, you should go to her desk and leave, like, a little pile of, like, chicken bones and things like that.
And some ash.
Yeah.
A chicken bone with a mark.
Yeah.
Scratched into it.
Or just give her a black spot. Just give her like a Bible page with a black spot scrawled on it and leave it on her desk. The black spot.
I'd get sacked for doing something like that because that's emotional abuse. Oh, so good.
Well, yeah, but you're not the one making her emotional, are you? She's choosing to be emotional. She's the one who dictates how those things affect her. By words.
We have way too much sovereignty to ever be affected by other people.
Yeah, like everyone chooses how they're affected. I'm not responsible for it. Technically anything anyone says, someone else will find offensive.
Yeah.
I'm not responsible for the way you feel.
No.
If you choose to take offense to what I've said or take it to heart, that's on you, love. Sorry.
Yeah.
Bummer. Yes, I'm putting cursed objects on your desk, but you're the one who chooses how you react to it.
The best way to
you're the one who chooses how hysterical you get.
Is to throw it in the bin.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Anyway, magic moment from you, dear.
Yes, well, I'm going to fluff it because I've been on holiday.
Have been on holiday.
I've done no magic. I've done nothing, but I've had a very lovely recharge, very relaxing.
And it's been helpful.
It's been helpful for me to open up and explore new possibilities with regards to myself, what I want to do. It's been very kind of future reaffirming. It's been good. I'm getting back in touch with massage, sensual touch. It's been very lovely.
Nice.
It's good. Yeah, it's been very positive. And also, I didn't go to church while I was there. Very bad. Shame on me. Considering we were literally right next to a Catholic church. Which I find quite hilarious that you have this gay resort next to a Catholic church. But, you know, whatever.
I don't.
Serendipity. Yes, it was lovely. I didn't go because it's a little sleepy town in Portugal called Mexiloeiro Grande. Very lovely. But it's full of... the people there, I'm sure, are very lovely. I didn't really get to speak to them. I'm sure they're very lovely. But it's full of people that are very leathery, brown-tanned. and they sit in their doorways looking at you as you drive around.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be the pasty white gay boy traveller sitting in a church full of town residents.
Full of brown people. How bad are you? That's so terrible.
I can't believe those words just came out of your mouth.
You were the one who was skirting around the issue.
They're tanned! Oh my God! No! Don't put those horrible words in my mouth. Awful person.
No, you didn't want to be. You didn't want to be the obvious tourist.
Yeah, I didn't want to be the obvious outsider.
Obvious tourist in and a community church, which makes complete sense.
Yeah,
because so, communities make the churches.
Yes,
not the other way around.
So I didn't want that. So I didn't go. So I had to go to confession when I got back. So that was fine.
Hmm.
So yes, but it's been very good. It's been very lovely, and I had a wonderful time there. The food was so good.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't have, so the only restaurants they have in that town are traditional Portuguese restaurants. So you have to eat.
That's good.
Yeah.
Portuguese food.
And the food was stunning.
Awesome.
My favourite was, they did a dish called sliced black pork. It was lovely. The meat isn't black.
No.
It's from a pig. That's
why it's pork.
Yes, thank you. Asshole. But it's from a type of pig that's, it's not like boar, so it doesn't have that gamey taste, but it's different to normal, what's the word I'm looking for? Domesticated pig.
Oh, okay.
So it's slightly more wild, which is why it's black pork. And it had like even the thin slices that I had of it tasted like they were caked in crackling.
Yeah.
They didn't have it on them. On it, but it, I could taste it.
Mm.
It was so good. So fucking good.
No, it does sound good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
So that was, it's not really a magical moment, but it was I suppose we could call it a life affirming spiritual recharging.
No, it's a magical moment. I think the importance of having recharge time is always, you know, undervalued.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, beforehand there was a lot going on. And it gave you time to take stock of everything and go, oh, hang on a minute, didn't it? So
yeah, and now I'm fully recharged and I'm ready to engage in spiritual warfare. I'm ready to stake witches to crosses and hang them on hills. And I'm ready to burn down everybody else and convert.
Not sure.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to convert you after this.
That's so boring.
Yes.
That's so boring.
I know. I'm not going to really.
No, I know.
Because I don't care. I'd actually have to care to
do anything. Ah, you would. You would have to give a fuck. I find that really funny that the only evangelists are really nosy bastards. And that's it. They give a fuck about other people. Yeah, so. Oh, lovely. Glad you had a good time.
Yes. Yes. It was.
So, like, let's bring back to. Subject is like magical tools times two.
Yes, well, you did a lovely video about wands the other day. Your wand, specifically. You were sat in a doorway on a rainy day looking at your pagoda.
Yeah, looking at the garden, out the back door.
Playing with your wand.
Fiddling with my wand, reading a book.
As one does.
As one does. No one else was there. Could get away with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was all right. Do you know what? The moment I said, it's raining, it stopped. I was just like, oh, thanks. Made me a fucking liar. It did spot, though, which is all right. But, so I have a number of wands, as I've mentioned. And on the video, I mentioned that my favourite one is a copper wand, which is just a piece of copper. But it's kind of my thing, copper. I really like it. It's quite next to silver, which is next to gold, really. It's like one of the most conductive metals, which I find really, really cool for magic.
You should drink pineapple juice, it's full of copper.
It is. And it's the only fruit that eats you back. But yeah, it brought up a conversation between us, didn't it, about it's not the Pope. The Pope wasn't there, the Bishop. And how he did a really weird... The Pope. It was a bloke in a weird conical hat. I don't fucking get it. But I don't have to get it because I'm not Catholic. I was going to say bishopy, which I'm not that.
I mean,
either.
You're not that either, no.
I'm not that either. Because he used like a candle scribe, which looked like a wand. So this big candle that they were doing,
it was Easter Vigil.
That's it.
The night Easter of my Vigil confirmation.
Mass. Yeah.
And they are blessing and anointing the candles that will be burnt throughout the year.
Yes.
So they push in these pins that have like herbs and things in. They push those in.
They're the incense pins.
Yes, they are.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
I found some.
Great.
Sorry. Carry on. Sorry.
So pleased for you. So they push those in on the points of the X with the P and the X. And then he pulls out this silver rod and placed it against one of the candles and said a blessing and then took it off and put and then it goes back in its box. And
Could you see around behind what he was doing when he pointed?
He didn't do anything with it.
He moved.
He touched it.
Did
and
he?
That was it. And then he spoke a blessing.
Oh, I thought he moved.
No.
Oh, I'm remembering it differently.
Oh.
That's all right.
And I mentioned to you at the time that it was a wand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, you're channeling. It's the way you use it for a wand, really, because he's channeling Persona Christi into the candle to effectively,
bless it.
Yeah, that's the simple word. That's the only word you need, Clinton. Don't make it complicated. And make it even more than just a candle. It now has all these blessings upon it, and it's all this stuff. I thought it was quite interesting because he's also got that absolutely. I asked Wayne this the other day, and I was like, "What the fuck is the crook for?"
The shepherd's crook.
Yeah. And I said, what's that for? And he went, oh, it's nothing. It's just a stick. And I was just like, wait a minute. What? No, it isn't.
It's just a stick. Fucking hell.
I said, isn't it supposed to be about shepherding? He went, yeah, but that's not what they use it for. And I was like, yeah, but that's the point, isn't it?
It's a symbol.
And he went, yeah, but they don't take it seriously, so it doesn't really matter. And I was just like, I mean, I get where Wayne's coming from, because he's just like, if they don't take it seriously, why the fuck should anyone else? Because they literally don't use it. He literally walks in with it. And then that's it.
Well, yeah, but we're not actually sheep.
No, I get that. I get that. But
and it's made of metal. Like, a proper shepherd's crook is not. How is he supposed to actually use it? Around the necks of non-believers.
I reckon he should go out to the street and go, "You, come here." Sure. Yeah. Brilliant. But I'm sure there's things out there that they could dramatize and make. Dramatise? No, I don't mean that. Well, I do kind of mean that. And make it part and parcel to explain it to the people.
Well, I suppose because he just kind of walks in
with it and then walks out with it. And you're just
But it would be, it's a symbol of his status as he is the shepherd of our diocese.
Oh, is that why he gets it?
Yeah, because he's our bishop.
Oh, okay.
And then another diocese will have another bishop.
Bishop-y-wishop-y.
Also have a shepherd's crook.
Oh, okay.
So he shepherds our diocese.
And the crook belongs to the diocese?
Yes, effectively.
Not the bishop?
Well, I would imagine it belongs to the bishop, because you can't really have a diocese without a bishop.
No, but I remember the bishop before, and he had the same crook.
Right. Oh, yeah, it doesn't belong to him as an individual.
No, it's...
It's the post.
It's the... Yes.
Yeah,
it's, the bishop has the... The bishop as a post, as a position,
yeah,
owns the crook.
Yes.
But that the individual who takes the position of bishop...
Yes. True.
Just becomes the holder of the crook for that time.
Yes.
That makes sense. No, that's cool. It's like the it's a bit like the chair in Bardic traditions. Is the chair is the seat of the bard for that period of time. The bard changes, the seat doesn't. So the kind of the position of bard kind of changes hands, and the seat of that person's seat, that's that seat of status, of stature, never changes. You're still the bard of such and such place, the bard of Wales or the bard of Cornwall or bard of Northampton. Northampton has a bard festival every year. So the seat doesn't change, but the person within that position of of bardic power or whatever changes. So that's interesting. So we've got a candle scribe that's used for blessing. You've got a crook that is a demonstration of one's position.
Yeah. Why are we talking about the bishop's tools?
I don't know, because we were talking about his scribe, and then I said I don't get the crook.
Okay.
There's a chair there as well, isn't there?
Yeah, he does have a chair.
He has a chair that goes to the highest ranking individual who turns up.
No, it's his chair.
Oh, is it his?
It's his chair.
No idea.
Yeah. Yeah, because we've recently just had...
Didn't you have a bloke turn up yesterday?
Yeah, we did. No, it wasn't yesterday. It was a couple of days ago. We had, and I can't remember what the actual title is, but he is the Pope's representative to England.
Isn't he a Monsignor or something? No, a Monsignor. He's not Cardinal, was he?
It sounds really bad. It sounds really bad, but it's a title that sounds like nonce.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it does. Nonce.
But there's something else attached to it. But he's the Sergeant. Pope's Sergeant Nonce. You. He is the Pope's representative to England, and I don't know if he gets to sit in the chair or if him and the bishop turned up at the same time. I don't think he would. Because that's the bishop's seat.
I have no idea.
I don't really know where he falls in the hierarchy of it all. Really. Which is quite bad. I should know.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I find it all a bit strange.
But anyway, regardless. So it is a bishop's chair. But our bishop's he brings his seat forward. It should sit right at the back at the highest position. And he doesn't like that. He brings it forward. So it's lower.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice.
I find it all very strange.
Why?
Not that, but the seat forward thing, but the Pope representative, bishop representative, priest, they, you know, la 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 la. I don't. Just because it sounds a bit like power play.
Yes, but no.
I get that it isn't. I get that it isn't.
Yeah. Well, it's about establishing. And making sure that things go the way they should go, but also that information is passed down properly. Yeah. So things go for, because otherwise, if we didn't, it would be exactly like it was in the old days. You would have a message come from the Pope, but then who would then pass that on to the masses?
Yeah.
You need official people who are attached to...
It's about having a manager, isn't it? Basically. And then it's about having a middle manager.
Yeah.
And an assistant manager.
I'm no more... Well, the Pope is no more of a Catholic than I am, technically.
No.
The only difference is that he is the Bishop of Christ. but no yeah, more of a yeah. Catholic than I am. So, yeah. And there are plenty of people out there that have better gifts than the Pope does.
Oh, of course. Yeah, he'd be the first one to mention it.
Doesn't mean I can't bless things. It doesn't mean I can't do anything. It just means that he is effectively the seat of authority within my church.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I mean, thinking about... Tools that give authority, positions.
You have the same thing with Druidry. It's the same as, like, you've got, for example, let's just take Obod because it's easy and I can reference it. You've got the Chosen Chief, but then you also have seed groups, and every seed group will have an Archdruid or at least someone at the
Well, they'll have a Druid. Every seed group. So, yeah, you're not wrong. So, every grove requires two Druids, every seed group requires at least one Druid or two Ovates. To be run as a seed group, anything under that can't.
There's more flexibility within that, obviously, with regards to practice is unique. But then the core teachings, I suppose, will still have to follow along the lines of what Obod teaches.
Yeah, so the quarter rituals have to be are expected to be the Obod quarter rituals. Yeah. So that if you ever turned up to an Obod gathering, an official Obod gathering with all the Chosen Chief and all the other people there, that you would know what was going on.
Yeah,
because that's what you did at home. You know, there might be a different flavour to it, but the ingredients are the same.
Yeah, you'll still do, like, the call for peace and things
Like that. So, and, you know, in that respect, like, the sword still means the same thing and stuff like that. I like the... So that's something to mention. Like, so it's almost like a spiritual presence, that crook, is, like, the spiritual power of the... A reminder that this is, like, a man who is just shepherding you on your journey rather than a bloke who's telling you what to do. He's meant to be the gentle hand that guides. In ceremonial magic, you carry a sword as a symbol of authority over, and it's more dogmatic. And I think dogmatic is probably a soft word. Maybe draconian is a better word. It's more draconian in the fact that it is carrying a sword in ritual is your declaration of power over the spirits you conjure into that space, which I find very stressful. Whereas a wand is a weaving tool for those things that are there. That you direct shape, and you know the wand is similar to the crook, that it's there to guide things in a direction, whereas the sword is there to dictate and threaten into action. So yeah, I suppose there's a hell of a lot of similarities on there.
So now, what tools do you use, and have they changed since we last did?
No,
not at all.
No, not changed. I still use my copper wand for practically everything. I did a charm not too long ago and I invoke the Arwen with my wand, which I always love doing. I still do it on my videos, invoke the Arwen to every video. I invoke the Arwen at my talk at PTG.
That's good.
And I will when we talk in September.
That's good. And I'll summon the Holy Spirit!
Okay. As long as you do it in a sensible way, rather than the way that it's reverberating in my mind.
I'm going to do it exactly like that.
No, don't you dare.
I will.
No.
And then I'm going to throw doves at people.
Spitting feathers for a week.
Yeah.
Gross.
I'm going to load them. You know, you get those like t-shirt cannons.
A dove into the t-shirt cannon.
A load of doves.
Oh,
brilliant. Whole flock.
Oh, that sounds grand. Yeah, so I use my wand to invoke things, and because I find it a gentler tool. And with it being Venus and copper, the spirit in the wand is very much like a unifying one. It's it's kind of done through love. So it's about bringing two things together in unity to create a third symbiotic thing.
Yes.
Which is marvellous.
Sorry, my brain, when you said Venus... Yeah, no. My brain suddenly went, a wand is phallic, so is it a lady penis? That's just, sorry. My
funnily
brain
enough,
just...
Funnily enough, my wand's name is Clitoris.
Oh, my brain went there. I'm so sorry.
Clitoris the wand. No. No.
Just no.
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 No. It kind of fits the gay dynamic of, like, receptive partner sort of thing, which kind of works. I kind of like it. I like it. There's lots of avenues and avenues. Wrong word. Bad choice of language. There's lots of things, correspondences that work that go well for it. And yeah, rather than a sword, although I do own a sword, I tend to use a sickle. For
how often do you use your sickle?
I don't use my sickle very often. The sickle I use for reaping and unbinding things. So if I need to sever a tie, which generally speaking is difficult because very often I don't create ties with things that I because of my practice of divination, I use a lot of foresight. So generally speaking, I won't create a tie with something unless I know full well I'm not going to have to sever it later. So very rarely do I have to do that. However, there are times when you're in a situation and ties are formed because you need them at the time, in the moment, and then you have to cut them later because they're not easily undone. So it does come in really handy for things like that. And it does come in really handy as like a defensive magical tool. Because although you're not threatening, you are reminding whatever you create or whatever you're working with that at any point you can harvest and let go of.
No, that's good.
You know, And just it keeps like a mental clarity and you know the reinforcement of boundaries in your work. If you have boundaries in relationships, you should have boundaries in your working. Very important. So yeah, I have that for that. What else? What else do I use? Robes. I recently just washed and cleaned and sorted out one of my robes.
Did you get rid of the stain?
I did.
Congratulations.
I did get rid of the stain. It took ages, but I did get rid of it. Lots of sunshine, fresh air, and stain remover! I think I burnt the tips of my fingers, though, but that's all right.
That's fine. You don't need fingerprints.
No, I don't need fingerprints, especially for what I do. And, yeah, I think robes are important. I think they are a number of things. They, especially with what I do, they other you.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to explain that?
Not to me.
Do I have to explain it because we're on podcast?
Yes. You do that while I close some windows.
Oh, you go close some windows. So
othering is
if you work in the realms of the other world or within fairy craft or within fairy sorcery or spirit work, sometimes it is safer to turn up within those relationships, within those journeys and within those workings, appear as something other than yourself. So being robed is an easy way of being unrecognizable from your mundane, although I hate the word, or casual, normal, usual self. So othering yourself is helpful with regards to robes, but robes can also serve as armor. So they can be enchanted, they can be inscribed with all sorts of things, and they can work to keep you protected and to embolden you and to bless you and all these other things. So yeah, I use robes a lot. I have a lot of them. I do use them a lot. I quite like them. They're very, very, very good. Love it.
Yeah. Marvellous.
What about you?
Any more My tools Any have tools? Changed dramatically. Yes. I don't use a wand.
No.
Don't need one. My tool is faith.
Apart from the meat wand you were telling me about the other day.
The meat wand.
Meat wand.
Yes. Yes. No.
It's from Cumberland.
Please stop.
Sausage.
Sausage.
Sorry, God.
So, I use a rosary. That's my big one.
A rosary.
A rosary.
To cut out your enemies. Lovely. How do you use a rosary? I nearly said rosemary. How do you use a rosary?
You pray on it.
You pray?
You pray with it.
Is that it?
Yes. Oh. Predominantly.
Really
so mine has a Benedictine medal on it. And it's been blessed by a priest. So it is a big what?
Just the way you said priest. It's fine. Bad priest.
So it's not only protective, it is also a tool I use for prayer.
Why is it protective?
Because it has a Benedictine medal on it and it's been blessed by a priest.
Why does the Benedictine medal matter?
Because it is a medal that has been used to ward off things like evil spirits and witchcraft.
Oh, marvellous.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just poking.
No, that's fine.
More information.
It's to do with the origin of it. It was found, I'm really bad. I did read it, and at the time I kind of remembered, and then it's been a while, so my brain has obviously gone cloudy.
What, Benedict?
No, well, yeah, it's to do with Saint Benedict, but they found this medal in this house, and oh, I can't remember. It's my brain's like pudding.
Do you want me to Google it?
My brain is like punching.
What you're talking about? Praying. Better than a punch lasagna.
Yeah.
Shall we Google? Google. Oh no, that's Cú Chulainn. I need that. Wait a minute. Cú Chulainn.
So the Saint Benedict medal is a Christian sacramental medal containing symbols and text relating to the life of Saint Benedict of Nursia, used by Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Western Orthodox, Anglicans, and Methodists in the Benedictine Christian tradition, especially. Oh God, hang on. Hold on, love, hold on. History. Here we go. The exact time and date of the making of the first Cenobitic Benedictine medal are not clear. The medal was originally a cross dedicated to the devotion of in honour of Saint Benedict. At some point, medals were struck that bore the image of Saint Benedict holding a cross aloft in his right hand and his rule of monasteries in the other hand. Then a sequence of capital letters was placed around the large figure of the cross on a reverse side of the medal, the meaning of which the letters signify was lost over time until around 1647. An old manuscript was discovered at the Benedictine St. Michael's Abbey in Metten. In the manuscript written in 1415 was a picture depicting St. Benedict holding in one hand a staff which ends in a cross and a scroll in the other. On the other staff and scroll were written in full the words of which the mysterious letters were initials. Latin prayer of exorcism against Satan. The manuscript contains exorcism formula words in Latin. I'm not going to bother to try and say. And the letters were found to correspond to this phrase. So, yeah, so it's got ties to exorcism.
So, one more thing. Today we have the Jubilee Medal of Monte Cassino, which I think you mentioned. Initially struck in 1880 under the supervision of the monks of Monte Cassino.
Lovely.
Italy. It marked the 1400th anniversary of St. Benedict's birth.
Lovely.
So the one we have nowadays is because of that.
Marvellous.
Yes.
Yes.
Just thought I'd add.
Yes. So it's got ties to exorcism, but yeah, it helps protect against witchcraft and demons and things like that. Nefarious and then it's been, magic. It's also been, the whole rosary has been blessed by a priest. And then I use it for communion and prayer. It's also a really good tool for manifestation. One of the promises of Mary to those who pray the rosary is that whatever they need shall be given. So it's a tool for manifestation. And there are also like other promises. I think there's like 14.
So question, because this came up when I went to PTG, like, okay. Because we talk about, And it came up in one of the talks. So a woman was doing elements and she said, you can work with this, you can work with that, you can work with the other. And then never went into detail about what that work actually is. So you say you can pray for manifestation or you can work, you can use the rosary for manifestation. Yes. How does that work? Is it, I mean, outline, if it's really, really simple, fab, but outline it as, you know, how does that work with regards to Mary's promise and you manifesting something? And what do you have to do? Is it just a basic, you know, prayer? Or do you have to think about what you're wanting to manifest? How does that work?
So I'm trying to find the appropriate promise. So the 15 promises is 15. The 15 promises of Mary are, whoever shall faithfully serve me by the recitation of the rosary shall receive signal graces. It will cause virtue and good works to flourish. This is like people who dedicate, so you have to dedicatedly pray the rosary. The full rosary is to pray it 4 times a day.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
It is.
But I've done it where I've had periods where I've prayed it every day, just one full rosary every day. And it does pay off dividends. You find the things you need. I don't have to do any workings for because they just start appearing in my life.
Yeah, it's like, the same when I do my daily workings. Like,
yeah, it pays off.
Devotion, or is it just pays
so,
off?
So that's one. So whoever shall faithfully serve me by the recitation of the rosary shall receive signal graces. 2, I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all those who shall recite the rosary. 3, the rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, disease, sin, and defeat heresies. 4, it will cause virtue and good works to flourish. That souls would sanctify themselves by this means. 5, the soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the rosary shall not perish. It's also kind of a way to guarantee your place in heaven. Not that I particularly believe I'm going to go to hell and burn, because hell is a load of bullshit. Mm. But it's a way of kind of getting into, I don't know. I don't want to say it's like a golden ticket, but it's,
I got a golden ticket.
But it's a way of, I suppose, even if you've done bad things in your life that may mean that you have to go through a series of penance after you die, it's a way of saying, well, I kind of prayed the rosary and I fulfilled this spiritual obligation, does it at least kind of give me a few graces? So, whoever shall recite the rosary devoutly shall never be conquered by misfortune. That's a good one. So it's lucky.
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 Lucky, darling.
7. Whoever shall have a true devotion for the rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. Another good one.
Okay.
Well, there are stories of people who, like devout Catholics and things, that fall ill and they're in hospital and they're on their last legs and no one can find a priest to give them last rites. And then all of a sudden, a priest appears because they either felt the need to go to the hospital that day or they went for someone else and that person either went home because they didn't need the priest. And then you've got this priest walking around and suddenly, oh, we need a priest. So when sacraments are needed, they're there for you. Those who are faithful to recite the rosary shall have during their life and their death the light of God, which is lovely. I shall deliver from purgatory those who have been devoted to the rosary, which is also quite good. There's quite a few people, actually. Like, I believe, I don't want to use, devotee is probably the wrong term to use in Catholicism, but people who venerate St. Francis.
Mm-hmm.
So your lovely man. There is a promise made by Jesus to St. Francis that once every year he can go to purgatory and rescue souls that are that follow his ways from purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
Depending if you believe in purgatory. The faithful children of the rosary shall merit high degree of glory in heaven. You shall obtain all you ask of me by the recitation of the rosary. Manifestation.
Yeah.
All those who propagate the Holy Rosary shall be aided by me in their necessities. This one I'm not sure I'm going to be able to read fully because here we go. All the advocates of the Rosary shall have the intercessors, will have for intercessors the entire celestial court during their life and at the hour of their death. So effectively,
angels.
I have the whole host of heaven at my beck and call should I need it.
Marvelous.
Should I need it, not if I want it. There's a difference. Yeah.
Yeah, no one ever knows. No one ever gets the difference between need and want.
Yeah. It's one thing for me to say, I want this, so I'm going to call on angels. Nope, they've got better things to do.
Yeah, they're making sure gravity works, mate.
So, all who recite the rosary are my sons, my brothers, and my only, of my only son, Jesus Christ. Devotion of my rosary is a great sign of predestination. So those are the 15 promises. So it's a great tool for manifestation. So if you pray it dedicantly, you pray it devoutly, amazing things happen. I haven't prayed it for a little while now, so I can't exactly like pick it up and be like, oh, Mary, by the way, can I have this?
No, you've just... And that's the point, isn't it? It's not about... Because I think people get hung up on... And I think it's the same in magical circles. When you're doing that whole intention thing, people get hung up on the intention and focus on the want. And actually, you just need to focus on the deed, knowing that the want is answered.
The biggest struggle, Wayne tried to explain this to me. And I say tried because he did try. And bless him, I love him dearly, but he did fail. He didn't get it. He tried to explain, you don't need magic. You don't need that. You don't need that. Magic is magic. Like, I still believe my world is full of it. Like, even being a Catholic is brimming with it. But, like, your perspective on it shifts. But I'm at a point now whereas before, I felt the need to go out and do workings and craft stuff and make things and actively put things together. Now, coming at it from a Catholic point of view, it truly is about faith, which I know sounds boring, but it really isn't. So, like, I have these things I need. I never, even when I was praying the rosary devoutly, I never asked Mary for stuff. Mm. She knew what I needed. So there were times where, yes, the purse strings were tight and I needed money. I didn't actively say, God, I could do with a tenner. But that week...
You got a tenner.
I would have, like, clients would give me £5 tips, £10 tips. And by the end of the week, I would have about 60 quid's worth of cash just given to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's amazing. And that's been enough this last week before I get paid to make sure that I can feed myself and you know, keep myself above the red, basically. Yeah. So it's little kind of serendipitous moments like that, or I don't know. You just find that when you have faith and you do these things devoutly and you show your commitment and your, this sounds really Christian and
it, I apologize, really Christian.
I know.
Oh, what a shame.
I know.
Because so far you've been talking about Mary and her 15 promises.
Shut up.
That didn't sound Christian before.
Shut up. No, but when you show that you have like your, when you really actively show your love of God. And you express it in healthy ways that have been asked of you by Mary and other like saints and things. It really does start to pay dividends.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Then there are those occasions where like, I want to bless water and I want to bless oil and whatever. And they work just fine. But faith is quite possibly the most powerful tool I have.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think there's a lack of it in pagan circles sometimes. And I think generally because that's, and this is just a broad statement, but I think generally it's because there's a misunderstanding around it. Faith is kind of a relationship built on trust. So it's like this kind of idea that you do something with the preconceived notion and trust that the action speaks for you. You don't have to do anything else. You have complete faith that whatever happens, it'll all be all right in the end, sort of thing.
Yeah. It's and that thing, like, there's a,
there's not enough of that in the pagan sphere. No. And I don't think it's wrong to have this personal power thing. But that exists everywhere. You know, you have to have personal power. You have to have sovereignty. But sometimes you have to trust that you were given it, that you've achieved sovereignty, that you have personal power, and that letting go of the reins to let something happen is how you get something to happen. Mm. And the easiest way to do that is just have faith that you're being heard, that you're being listened to, and that your sovereignty is being honoured by the gods and the spirits around you, so that when you do have faith in those spirits, gods, and that power of sovereignty, the right thing happens.
Mm.
And I think people lose sight of it and lose sight of their beliefs and stuff when they don't have enough faith. Those people who step away from it in times of need and stuff, I think it's because they lack faith in it, you know, because those with faith lean hardest on it when they have bad times.
Yeah.
Whereas those without step away from it thinking, I haven't got the energy for it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't need to worry about your energy, you just do it and you're not spending energy on this thing, you're thinking too much about it. You need to just let it happen and relax, which is a hard thing to say,
surrender,
a hard
to
thing to do. Yeah, surrender to it, surrender to the currents, you know, because they are holding the knives. You've got aggressive raisins in your pocket.
What the fuck are you on about? What on earth are you on about?
Currents.
Oh, yes.
Ah, you got it. You're sorry. Yeah, I am. I am. Anyway, tools, the rosary. Do you have any others?
Yes.
And faith is a tool.
Faith.
I mean, that was a brilliant TED Talk, by the way. Sorry, I didn't mean to step all over it.
Hey, no, that's great.
It's fab.
Loved it.
Grand.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
Glad you were here for it.
Thank you.
Mm. Who are you? I also have... Nice knowing you, whoever you are. Yes, blessed water or holy water. Salt is also another powerful tool I use and utilize. The biggest one, the Bible, the Bibble.
The Bible?
Yes.
The book.
The holy word of God.
Yeah, because it's a book of magic words.
It is a book of magic words.
Yeah.
I showed you earlier. I thumbed through and showed you mine. Multiple ones of mine.
Yes.
But within my Bible, I have the Psalms, which are powerful incantations and words and poems and spells, whatever. And then the lovely, as you showed me earlier, the Songs of Solomon. So I have love magic. The stories of Jesus can be used as a tool for divination.
Mm-hmm.
It's also protective. It's brilliant.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I've got oils, salts, the Bible, faith, the rosary. I think that's about it. Oh, and also, like, obviously my cross. Any crucifix is a good tool.
Yeah, no, good point.
For protection.
Good point.
So, yeah. Basically, that's it. Well, I do want to make sanctified oil. But I'm kind of procrastinating on that one.
Mm.
Yeah. I want to make it, but I'm lazy.
Yeah, I get that.
But I will make one at one point, and I'll use it to anoint stuff.
I think words are a good thing.
Words?
Fuck that, Clinton. That's just very vague. I think words are a good thing. Yeah. Very good.
Great.
Yeah. No, I think having words of power is a good thing. I was talking to you about the runes earlier, and how I use them. And there's a thing called Galdr, mm-hmm. and that is like singing the runes. And I just think it's incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful in magical circles to have something that is, you know, all-encompassing. For example, the same could be said about psalms. You recite the psalm. You don't have to focus on the intention behind it. You don't have to focus on, you know, getting all the energies right or anything else like that. You just recite the psalm.
Yeah.
The psalm does the work because that's its job. That's its MO. That's its whole motivation for being, is that it does that thing.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the runes. You don't have to worry about all of these things, all this gubbins around the intention, make sure you get it right. You just point and shoot, and you just sing the rune, you focus the rune, and you put it somewhere, and it does its job. They're practically, I mean, they're in their mythos, you can understand them as being autonomous, like they are autonomous spirits in their own right. They've revealed themselves, and that very notion means that they chose to become revealed or to show themselves to an outside source, which shows a level of self-awareness and autonomy, which is an amazing thing, because it means then that you can just enact or, you know, chant the rune and it does all the work for you, you know, which is a great tool, absolutely brilliant tool, much better than the bloody, in that respect, much better than the bloody tarot, much better. I mean, I can imagine using it in the same sort of light, however, be far more complicated to use the tarot in the same way. You know, throwing the lovers out there, I'd be like, wait a minute, what? Fuck, no, wait a minute, no, couldn't do that. But, you know, I could use Wunjo. So much easier, because that's just joy. Just joy.
It's just joy.
Joy. Joy. Joy. I actually did it at somebody at Pagan Tribal Gathering in the middle of my talk, and I just went, I said, you can just take Wunjo, for example, joy, and I turned at just a random person and just went, Wunjo, 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 pissed themselves laughing. And I said, now that could be all Wunjo, or the fact that I've just made a complete prick of myself. But the point is exactly the same. It still worked. It still worked. And they said, I've never, it was a proper belly laugh, proper belly laugh. And I was like, there you go.
Lovely.
I was like, I'm not actually that funny. So it's definitely
what I mean, you're not, I know you.
I'm really not that funny, you bitch. But yeah, so it's cool. There's loads of tools, aren't there? And I think sometimes people get kind of hung up on, it's got to fit in your hand, you've got to be able to point it at somebody. But that's not all the tools that are there. Sometimes they can be the simplest thing. One of my favourite tools at home is a...
That's a weird word.
That is, yeah. Two things, actually, but one is a lantern, little tiny lantern, little brass, like, indoor storm lamp thing that I use in my daily devotions, and a black mirror, because it means that I'm lighting a fire in the other world,
mm-hmm.
because you can see it on the other side, and we're both in the same boat, mirrors are portals, and it's just great. I love it. It's really, really, really fun to...
It reminds me...
have this portal to the other world in that mirror.
It reminds me of the Hermit card, because he holds a lantern.
But he does.
The interesting thing with his lantern is that the light within it is the shape of the Star of David, or the Seal of Solomon, which is used to...
Wait, what?
...control spirits.
Wait, what?
Yeah. You never noticed that.
In certain, is this in Rider Waite?
In certain images of the Hermit card, within his lantern, the light within it is in the shape of the Seal of Solomon, or the Star of David.
I never knew this.
Yeah.
You've made that up.
No.
Ooh, I'm going to have to Google that in a bit.
Not in every deck.
No, 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 no. Is it in the Rider Waite
deck? Certainly in quite a few I've seen. I don't actually know. Let's have a look.
We're running out of time.
Let's Google quickly.
We're going to have to quickly Google the Rider Waite deck, because that's cool, because that means that, like, because his is a... Oh, that means that's in... That's me... Wow. That's cool. Hermit.
There you go.
Card.
Oh. Oh, no, I've been linked into Etsy.
Images. Oh, yeah!
Yeah, see?
It is a six-pointed star.
Yeah.
Which is the Seal of Solomon. Which is interesting, because he's meant to be alone. Which also indicates that he's not... That reminds me of the Desert Fathers.
But it's all about... Yeah, and it's all about...
Which means that you're not alone.
No.
That you can't... That you're never alone.
But within... So within the card as well, like, you've got variations of it where he's standing on a mountain, yep. He's holding the lantern aloft, and he's looking at something. What is he looking at?
Yeah,
what's he could be looking at? Beyond. He could be looking at the other world. He could be staring down at civilization. It's about... Farsight and using the gifts of spirit to see.
Wait.
So yes, you're on your own, but you're doing it to gain a better perspective.
What's that?
So there you go. But your lantern made me think of that.
It's just brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, your lantern made me think of that.
Yeah. But I love it because, I do that because, like, I then know that, because I invoke the spirit of fire, because in my druidry, in the druidry I practice, there aren't four elements, there's three realms, and fire is a spiritual component, a spiritual power, you know, so to have fire present is, you know, it requires the other three, land, sea and sky, to exist. It doesn't exist otherwise. And, so it is a, yeah, it's transformative and it's all these things and then it goes out like, so it's not a thing that has a realm of its own, really. It is in between. And to light it and have it in the reflection of the other world means that I'm taking that fire to the other world. Mm. And I really love that. I really love that, like, that motion. And it's, the lantern is from my great-grandmother, so it was one of hers from her collection, and lighting that is about kind of bringing her closer.
Mm, that's nice.
But also linking to the other world where she still is. You know, my dad's ashes are on my shrine as well, and just having them there, like, and there are times where I look through the mirror and it's like it's literally somewhere else out there. It's really strange. Really, really strange. It's like there are shapes and things moving in it. It's really odd. But, you know, that could also be mental health. And I just need to be careful. But we're running out of time. So, yeah, let's wrap this up. So thanks very much for listening. You can find us by Googling us. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on WordPress. And you can find us on...
Just Google.
Everywhere. You can find us everywhere because we're on, like, iCloud and Google.
In your dreams.
Podcast.
In your mind. In the windmills of your mind.
In the windmills of your mind. It's me, Kathy, who come home. And... Anyway, sorry. Just made me think of Wuthering Heights.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's fine.
Crazy fucking dance. Anyway, yeah, thanks very much and have a lovely day. Goodbye.
Bye.